This podcast is a member of the Place to Be Nation family. Visit us at placetobenation.com, the only place to be in your pop culture world. You're listening to The Kevin Kelly Show, exclusively here on placetobenation.com, the only place to be in your pop culture world. And now, here's your host, the voice of Ring of Honor, Mr. Kevin Kelly.
When you're on holiday, you can't find the words to say.
I can't imagine falling down for a living, professional wrestling. Can't imagine doing it. Especially can't imagine doing it the way the guys in Ring of Honor and New Japan did it. Five days, four shows. And all I did was sit there and talk, and I'm exhausted. Imagine how they feel. Welcome, everybody, to the latest and greatest edition of the Kevin Kelly Show here on the Place to Be Nation, the website home, placetobenation.com. You get it on iTunes as well, and it's your favorite supermarket. In fact, in just a few minutes, our pal Justin Rosero is going to tell you where you can listen to the Kevin Kelly Show each and every week. Not only that, but our extensive archives, and maybe even make some recommendations for dinner. But we begin the day with the opening monologue. And I will say to you folks that I've had, this is my 25th year in professional wrestling. Yeah. I'm joking around. I'm complaining that I'm tired. But man, oh man, I had the most fun of my whole career this past week. It was freaking awesome. We started Tuesday in Philly with a great show. Stayed over Tuesday night. Did the show Wednesday. Again, another fantastic outing. Went back home Thursday. Did the regular job thing, then back to back in the car, drove to Toronto, and did the show Friday, the amazing internet pay-per-view, and then Saturday television, drove home, on the way home did a camp. So man, oh man, got home about 11 o'clock last night, and refreshed and ready to go. So, but JR, I'm glad you decided to start a little early tonight, because it could be an early Betty buy for yours truly here. I'm not used to being out late and driving around.
You can thank my daughter for actually complying tonight. So it was I've never seen Frozen the movie, but I know the story very well because I read the same book each and every night.
Oh, that's so nice. Hey, Dr. Tom is going to be our guest, and he's got some things brewing, so mm-hmm. That's always good. Dr. Tom Pritchard is now he's got the title. He's been on the show more than anybody else.
Three times. This will be his third trip back.
Yep. And we'll play a special game with Dr. Tom, because that's always fun.
Yeah, we always play a game with Tom.
It's great, because it makes him go places that he doesn't like to go.
Yes.
So did you watch Fallout Payback? Excuse me?
Yeah, I did. I had the cowboy, Roger, if you remember last episode. He was on debating boxing with you, and I think he's going to be on every other episode, maybe once a month, we'll talk some sports with him. And Mr. Andrew Flanagan was here as well. We dove in and got some payback, and I liked it. I thought it was a pretty good show, Kev.
Yeah.
Expectations were low heading in, and I thought they delivered. I thought the matches were all pretty good, outside of the Divas match wasn't that good. Neville and Barrett was a little disappointing, and you know, your mileage may vary on Cena Rusev, but I thought the finish was fine. Main event was excellent. The mm-hmm. tag title match was really excellent. And the opener was pretty brutal with Dolph and Sheamus. I don't know if you saw anything, but Dolph got busted open. What looked to be hard way in a headbutt spot. It was just like gushing blood. And then Sheamus polished him off with a kick to the face. It looked really cool.
Jeez. Those guys are like beating the hell out of one another, huh?
They really are.
Golly. So why did they do this show? Was this like an extra? Was this a surprise pay-per-view?
No, that's the next one. So this has been always scheduled payback. This is just their May show. And then they took a house show on May 31st and are doing the Elimination Chamber network only special. So it's not a pay-per-view. Like, you can't order it if you don't have the network.
Oh.
So it is going to be the chamber. They're having a chamber for the vacant Intercontinental title, a chamber for the tag team titles, and they're going to have six teams all like squeezed into the pods. And then I don't know if they're doing anything with the world title on that show, but they converted a Corpus Christi house show into this, which I think is a good move. makes it exclusive to the network. And the other shrewd part of it is the show is on the 31st. So if you get people signing up for May for the free month, they have like an hour after the pay-per-view ends to when they get billed. So if they don't renew in that hour, they'll get you locked in for June. So I bet they're banking on a lot of people doing that, maybe, that they'll sign up.
Wow.
So, but it makes a good month to have a free month. I mean, they got Payback, the NXT special, and then they got this. And then also June 1st, I think, is another reason they're trying to entice people. Austin's podcast is back in the network, and he's going to have Paul Heyman on.
Well, that'll certainly get people's attention and hook people to want to stay with the network in a paid month of June. What about me? I've got a year's subscription. Does that mean I get credit for May and for the other free month, February?
No, it's whatever only it was? For new subscribers.
Hmm.
So the way they should do it, right, instead of just giving free months every now and then, or every month, what they should do is make it like Netflix, where you get your first month free, and then that's it. So it's never just a free month. It's just when you first sign up, you get 30-day free trial, and then you can decide to keep it or get rid of it. And then that's it. You get one trial, and you're done. I think that's the way they should be positioning it, because a lot of things do that. Hulu does that. Netflix does that.
A lot of different ways that they probably could go about doing that. Did you catch any of the basketball over the weekend?
Yes.
What do you do if you're the Bulls, and what do you do if you're the LA Clippers?
I feel like the Clippers have a lot tougher summer to hack through, because they were up 3-1 and had a 19-point lead in what would have been a clinching game 6. To me, that's a lot worse than the Bulls, who could have taken control of the series. But to me, the Cavs are the better team. LeBron's the best player on the court. Like, I mean, they're feeling bad, but to me, that was a lot tougher series, and they were in a lot tougher position. They never had the control that the Clippers had of the series. To me, for the Clippers, it's embarrassing.
Yeah, it is.
That you had that lead, and you blew that game 6 at home with no Harden for the whole fourth quarter, pretty much.
Right, sat on the bench.
Yeah.
Crazy. I think that I got a feeling DeAndre Jordan's on his way out of town.
Well, there's rumors today that him and Chris Paul are not getting along, and that is probably going to make him leave.
Well, that it might be the time, and I think they need to go in another direction. So do the Bulls. Thibodeau's out, and is it TH sound or is it a T
Thibodeau,
sound?
Thibodeau.
See, I've heard people say both. So that's why I don't know. So you're on the T side. I'll say Thibodeau just so we sound the same.
Okay.
There's a little harmony here on the show.
Did he officially get fired, or you're just saying he's going to be fired?
No, he hasn't been fired yet.
Okay.
But
I think
he will.
It's stupid if they do. But
what do you think about, like, I mean, and then the Marlins turn around. And I'm jumping from topic to topic because I want to get back into wrestling here in just a little bit. But yep. I had these things fresh in my mind. Did they go out? And is this just Jeffrey Loria, the owner of the Marlins, putting his stooge general manager in place on the bench so he doesn't have to pay another check?
Yeah, I think so. I mean, Redmond's record wasn't great over the last 3 years, but it wasn't awful, and they weren't underperforming a lot. So I get it, though, if they want to say, well, we need a fresh voice, they're tuning them out. But then to put your GM that has zero coaching experience on the bench, yeah, just reeks that they're already paying three coaches. They don't want to pay a fourth, which they are. They're paying three guys.
Embarrassing. Just embarrassing. And we'll see. Now, so does Giancarlo Stanton, does he stay with the Marlins for the entire length of that contract, or do they dump him?
I don't think they dump him, because it was a lot, right? But it's not like absurd amount, right? Wasn't it like as friendly as like a deal like that would get?
It was extremely back-end loaded.
Right.
So
I think he goes eventually, but I don't think it's anytime soon.
Yeah, we'll see. We'll see what happens.
Now if a team calls them and it's like, we'll give you our top two prospects and eat the money, I mean, are they going to turn it down? No, but I don't think they actively shop him for a while.
Yeah, I don't think so either. Payback in the rear view, and now the next one up is a week from...
2 weeks what? From yesterday.
2 weeks from yesterday, it's going to be Elimination Chamber, where they're going to be fighting for the Daniel Bryan's former Intercontinental title. And there's so much chatter. There just seems to be this wave of thought and everybody seems to be commenting on it, that Daniel Bryan, everybody's, of course, we're all extremely saddened that he's you know, dealing with these injuries, but now there's starting to be some chatter that he might be done.
I mean, and we said that here a year ago.
Yeah.
That we were afraid he may be done. And he came back and gave it a go. You know, they didn't do him many favors. They had him wrestle a whole bunch and do the ladder match and do all the headbutt spots, and that's partially on him. And there's rumors, too, that he's been doing whatever he can to get cleared and get back in the ring, which worries me. It worries me that he's going to make a stupid decision. So I hope they don't do something, like, crazy and just let him go, because I'm afraid he'll go, like, work Indies or TNA or Ring of Honor, no offense, and then hurt himself more. Like, I hope they just give him a cushy deal, let him be a legend, you know, or let him, you know, he's a pretty good talker, maybe put him in the booth on SmackDown or Raw, let him do that, let him do some network stuff, and then maybe he goes on the Undertaker plan, where he wrestles, and comes back in January, or the Jericho plan, and maybe he does a couple matches here or there, a Mania match every now and then, you know, because it doesn't sound like he's not like on the edge track, it doesn't sound like where he's like one move away from being paralyzed, but it sounds right. Like he's just not getting better. So
I think his eventual home is the performance center.
Yeah, I mean, he'd
because
be great
he's
there.
He used to teach. He was the trainer at the ROH school, and you know, he's kind of a gym rat, and I think that's his personality. I think he would fit in well with the training and instruction of the future WWE superstars. So
yeah, I mean, he's made there. He's not going to go anywhere, I don't think, unless he forces their hand. You know, he pulls a Kurt Angle, where he just gets hooked on pills or something and goes crazy, and they're forced to sever ties with him, which I don't foresee that happening. So otherwise, I don't see him ever going anywhere.
That's not his that's not his thing.
No, I know. But when I hear stories like he's doing what he can to force his way back in, like things like that worry me.
Yeah.
Like he seems so well adjusted, but it worries
me. Well,
he's
got the nice Bella, right?
Yes. Well, they're both nice.
Mm. One of them is meaner, right?
I think she's perceived as being meaner because she has bigger boobs and dates John Cena, as opposed to being
right
meek and small and dating Daniel Bryan.
See, there you go.
I think we project based on
it's a perception issue.
Yes. If Brie was John Cena, you'd be saying, "Oh, Brie's the bitch, right?"
Oh, right. Do we project? Hey, are we projecting Samoa Joe to wind up in the WWE?
No, all the stories that were out last week, and they were big ones, sounded like he was at the NXT shows during the week and signed a 2-year deal. And the word is he, spoiler alert, is going to show up on the NXT special Wednesday, which I didn't mention as well as part of the big month of May. And the word on the street is that he's going to have a very short run in NXT and then we'll be up on the main roster.
Spoiler alert. Well, that would be great. Yeah. But I did see that he signed for
2 years.
He's doing New England Wrestling, Northeast Wrestling at the baseball stadium there, the baseball stadium show, Wappinger Falls.
Now, did he, are you hearing he signed, or are they just advertising him?
They're advertising him, but that's a pretty big show. Mm-hmm. So,
well, maybe that's part of his deal. They'll let him do that one thing.
Maybe. That's August, like the first week of August. Man, those New Japan guys are freaking rock stars. Holy Moses.
So there were 4 shows, right?
Yeah.
All right. So which was give me the ranking.
I would say Friday, Wednesday, Tuesday, Saturday. Only because Friday was meant to be that way.
Mm-hmm.
Wednesday was just a smidge better than Tuesday. Had a couple of moments Wednesday that really ramped it up.
The internet makes it sound like the crowds in Philly were phenomenal, were they?
Crowds in Philly were, in my opinion, louder than Toronto.
Hmm.
And I can tell you this. This is a factual statement. All 4 shows were complete sellouts.
There you go.
So, yeah, those New Japan guys mixed in with the Ring of Honor guys. Man, oh man, it was pretty special. And when you mix in, now we're starting to see, now, you know, kind of the sides are leveling as far as the New Japan side, because there's kind of 3 factions, if you will, within New Japan. There's the New Japan roster, There's chaos with Okada and the Roppongi Vice and Nakamura and Gato. And then the Bullet Club with all those guys. And, man, the Bullet Club is so over, JR. Mm-hmm. My God, it's crazy.
Yeah, when Scott Criscolo gets the T-shirt, you know they're over, baby.
Wow. So that's saying something. And just what they did and the way they carry themselves, they're rock stars. All of them are. Nakamura, loudest reactions, I think, consistently across the four shows. With Okada, then Tanahashi.
What was the best match of the four?
Roddy Tanahashi from Wednesday, mm-hmm. because Roddy gets busted open in the hairline. Like, I think Tanahashi caught him with an elbow. And all of a sudden, Roddy looks down and he's bleeding. And the doctor was at ringside. Now, the doctor hadn't been at ringside for most of the show. And he really didn't do much. But because he was there, it was like, whoa. Maybe they'll stop the match. And so it just added to the intensity. It was great. What else was also really good? I mean, everything was very, very good. Everything that was supposed to be great mm-hmm. was great. It's hard to do four shows in 5 days like this because the intensity was really high.
Right.
So the guys were kind of, everybody was a little worn out by the end.
Now, are they off for a little bit? When's the next show? Is it next weekend?
For Ring of Honor, the next show is in 2 weeks.
Okay, that's good.
And I'm not 100% sure of the New Japan schedule, but I think everybody gets to go home for a little bit.
That's good.
But they're going to be doing G1, which is the month, you know,
right.
late July into August, and it's like a crusher. So
the crusher.
Crusher. I was looking at that schedule today. Holy Hannah. That's
AWAs?
Gonna be... No, oh. Not the Crusher AWAs.
Theirs
schedule.
Is pretty empty. Okay.
I wonder if how many dates is Vern booking these days? Oh, none. Friday, the moment for me was, I mean, this could be a spoiler. I don't want to spoil it for anybody if you didn't see the iPay-per-view.
Okay.
But when Jushin Thunder Liger gets up close and personal with Maria.
Oh, hey now. Machi.
Yeah, a little hachi-machi for sure. What was that note you sent Dr. Tom? Hachi-machi? What was this?
No, we'll talk about it later.
Oh, good. I can't wait.
I want to get back to Samoa Joe just for a quick second. Do you think... Is it too late, or do you think he can be something there? Did you see the picture of him with the medicine ball where he's looking pretty good and looks like he dropped a bunch of weight?
Oh, I know he can be something there.
Okay. I'm just curious Absolutely. If you thought it was too little too late for him, or do you think it's...
No, I think he can do whatever he wants to do.
Okay.
Go ahead. And it's a question of just who he's put up against and what is he allowed to do? You know, is he going to get some matches of substance or is he going to be thrown in for nonsense? So
would you have him go to NXT at all? Would you just debut him as a surprise? Would you announce it on Raw? Like, how would you handle it?
It's a good question. Well, I think it depends on what you're going to do. You know, maybe Joe goes to NXT and winds up bringing some, you know, some NXT boys with him up to the main roster, mm-hmm. whether as a faction / group or perhaps adversaries.
See, I'm torn because I feel like bringing him up and striking while it's hot and just having him show up on Raw would be big. But I also feel like a quick feud with Owens would be a lot of fun and a big deal for NXT.
It would be a big deal. It would be. And really, it just depends on what's the angle here? What's the goal? Do we want to get viewers on the network? Do we want to have somebody to come in fresh and be a big surprise for? I think no disrespect to Joe at all. I wonder if he might even agree with me. I think there will be some people that he just popped out on WWE,
yep.
I think there'd be a lot of people that go, who's this?
Right. Yeah. So maybe the NXT TNA, run which vignettes are.
Yeah. TNA is akin to being in the witness protection program. So I don't think, you know, that's everybody might know his name.
Right.
Oh, I've heard of that name. Oh, that's him. You know, But it was because when guys are not in WWE, it's hard for them to make a name for themselves, and it's hard for them to keep themselves relevant and to be known just in pop culture. So
the Twitter sphere was a buzz earlier this evening because Finn Balor tweeted a picture of himself in his full regalia and kind of hinted that it's maybe at Raw that was happening.
What? That's crazy.
Now, there was a story today that Triple H and Vince were having a little bit of a power struggle where Triple H wanted to give him a little bit more time, not to rush, and Vince was kind of ready to move him up and strike. So amongst our little group, we were debating, will he show up and challenge Cena either tonight or issue a challenge, accept the challenge for maybe the pay-per-view, something along those lines. So it would be...
Vince does not... You're thinking about it backwards.
I am?
Yes. Vince is not looking for somebody to come up that is hot. Vince is looking for somebody to feed to the top guys, mainly John Cena. Vince only thinks about the top of the card.
What if he sees Finn Balor as a top of the card guy?
No.
Okay.
Now, can he be convinced that Finn Balor is the guy? Yes.
I think the only reason I think that maybe he could look at him that way is the gimmick and the demon stuff and the look. Like if he's just Finn Balor, kind of like, you know, Neville. Oh yeah, you know, good look, great guy, great hand or whatever. But the reason I think that maybe he sees him as some sort of star is due to that whole performance aspect of the gimmick.
I think so. I do think he will latch onto it and find a way to, you know, embrace him and like him and see something new and different in him. Again, that's to me Vince's strength. He takes the thing that the guy is doing and he can turn it, tweak it, change it, and it, you know, a lot of times can become better. But if he thinks you're a goof, then you're going to be a goof. So I hope he doesn't think he's a goof.
No.
Because once he thinks you're a goof, you're a goof.
I mean, the good thing is he's shown a little bit more willingness to push guys that maybe don't have the look he deems suitable, and I mainly point towards Seth Rollins. So that's good, all right? That's a good sign for Balor. Maybe a few years ago, you would say he had no chance. But
right. I think he's got a chance. So, all right, how about this? Let's take a timeout.
Mm-hmm.
Let's talk later on about Hogan and Austin and WrestleMania, right?
Well, we don't have to talk about it. So what we do, we started this the last episode, if you recall. Every episode we're going to check in and give the status if you think either of those guys are going to be at WrestleMania 32. So has your mind changed this week? So hang on, let me pull it because Dan had the stats here. So last week, Kevin, you said no to both. I said yes to Hogan and no to Austin.
Right. Do you want to do that now?
Yeah, let's do it right now. Because we don't have to talk much about it. We can just hit it quick.
Right. Okay. It's funny how a week, or in this case, 2 weeks,
right,
can change. So we started this a month ago.
Two weeks ago. We've only done it once so far.
We've done it once. I'm sorry. So 2 weeks. It's funny how 2 weeks can change everything.
Mm-hmm.
I would say yes. No, I'm sorry. For Hogan, no. For Austin, yes.
And I'm going yes to both this week. All right. I think the stories that Austin seemingly seems to be back in good graces now, that his podcast has been announced to be a monthly thing on the network, and they announced that he'll have Heyman on in June, and future installments are going to have The Undertaker and Sting, which is pretty cool too. So it seems like he's back in the graces. They know they have a lot of tickets to sell. So right now, I'm thinking they're both going to be there.
I would agree with you to a certain extent, but I'm going to say no with Hogan just because Austin is the story right now, and we'll see what Hogan does to change things around. Certainly, it looked like Hogan was gearing up for a match.
Mm-hmm.
I would say that does Austin wrestle?
Well, this is the question. Are they going to wrestle?
Yeah. Oh, the question is wrestle?
Yeah, I think they'll both be there for sure. The question is, will they have a match?
Against one another?
No. Will they both wrestle on the show?
Does wrestle mean like an NWO spot at this past year's WrestleMania?
No. Will they have an advertised match?
Then change my answer to no.
Okay. So you think neither guy competes in a match?
Neither.
I think they both do.
All right. At this moment in time, I say no.
Why don't we add Daniel Bryan to this checklist until we're proven otherwise, and we can take him off.
Do you want to do, what if we say the over-under basically is on ever again?
And week after week we'll do that? Okay. So yeah. Right now I'll say, well, yeah, because I do think he'll wrestle ever again. But I think ever again, I don't know. I feel like he'll never waver from yes, because I think it could just be like one match. So I feel like we need to say, will he ever wrestle regularly again?
Okay.
And I would say no. I do think he'll have matches. I just don't think he'll be regularly. Like, I could see him doing a WrestleMania match once a year or something like that.
I would say no as well. And I tend to lean towards him never wrestling again.
So he never even steps foot in the ring again?
No. I just... But regularly, I think that's a good way to go.
Okay.
And we'll see how that turns out. McGinn rapidly typing it in, putting it in the permanent record of the show.
That's it. Saved forever.
Nice job, Dan.
Nice job, Renee Young. Nice job.
All right. So we will come back. We'll do some more business. We'll do some more stuff later on. Dr. Tom is our guest. But right now, let's find out, as I told you, this is an extravaganza that we do biweekly. And right now, our pal JR is going to tell you where you can find The Kevin Kelly Show.
You can find it any of the following ways. You can subscribe to the brand new Kevin Kelly Show dedicated feed on iTunes. All the latest episodes will automatically download to your Apple devices. In addition, fans can visit PlaceNation.com, click the Kevin Kelly Show banner or the PTBN podcast banner on the right-hand side. You can also visit Stitcher.com, subscribe to the Place to Be podcast, or download the Place to Be Nation podcast app at PlaceToBe.podbean.com/mobile on your iPhone or iPad. Don't forget to check out the special ROH edition of this program exclusively at ROHWrestling.com. And be sure to also follow us on Twitter at @place_2bnation and at @realkevinkelly. And like us on Facebook at facebook.com/KevinKellyShowPTBN.
Quick timeout now on The Kevin Kelly Show. But when we return, our pal Dr. Tom Pritchard is going to be here. He's got a new project that he's working on. We'll talk to Tom. We'll get his thoughts on Payback. We'll get his thoughts on Daniel Bryan. I'm sure he might chime in with some Stone Cold Steve Austin thoughts, and maybe Samoa Joe as well. But then we'll also play a fun game with our pal Dr. Tom, and that's coming up next here on The Kevin Kelly Show on the Place to Be Nation. The website home, PlaceToBeNation.com.
I won't lie, I love B-U-D-D-Y. Why? 'Cause I never let it walk on by when it comes to meeting Jenny.
Place to Be Nation's Justin Rosero here. In addition to The Kevin Kelly Show, we have a ton of great podcasts available to you on iTunes at PlaceToBeNation.com. You can check out myself as Scott Criscolo on the Mothership, the Place to Be podcast, home of great interviews, our famous Vintage Vault pay-per-view reviews, and WWE Network live watches. If you need your fix of current wrestling talk, we have plenty of options for you, including The Main Event, featuring a roundtable discussion led by PTBN analysts and special guests, WrestleChat.net's Still Real to Us podcast with Jeff Peck, and Wrestling with Optimism, which focuses on what we should be excited about in the world of wrestling today. Also, be sure to relive wrestling's past with Graham Cawthon's excellent exclusive History of Wrestling podcast. Sports fans have plenty to dive into as well. We featured The Extra Point with Scott Criscolo and Dr. G, as well as the twice-weekly Bauer Show, The Kings of Sport, featuring live audio wrestling's godfather Nate Milton, The Sports Lounge, hosted by Cowboy and Cowboy Sr., often visited by special guests from inside the world of sports, as well as the NBA Team Podcast with Adam Murray and Andrew Reich for the deep dive into the world of pro hoops. As mentioned, all of these shows are available on PlaceToBeNation.com, the only place to be in your pop culture world. PTBN is also the home to tremendous in-depth features on pro wrestling, sports, movies, comics, and more. We also want to thank our friends at Bonehead's Wing Bar in West Warwick, Rhode Island, in Fall River, Massachusetts, Scott Keats' RSPWFAQ.com blog, and Piledriver.net for their support.
Well, we're back here on the Kevin Kelly Show on the Place to Be Nation, and he is now going to be forever known until someone tops him as the Tom Hanks of the Kevin Kelly Show, because he has been the guest on our show more times than anyone else, much like Tom Hanks was the guest host of Saturday Night Live more times than anyone else. Dr. Tom Pritchard is our guest here on the Kevin Kelly Show. Dr. Tom, how are you?
I'm doing great, but does that mean I've been on more than five times, Tom Hanks? Don't they have the five club at Saturday Night Live?
Yeah, he's way beyond the five. I think he's up to like 12 or 14 or something like that.
How many do I have here?
This is three.
Outstanding. So three makes a lot then.
Well, we're 35 episodes in 70 weeks, and you've been on three times.
Wow. That's a way to get your ratings up, huh?
That's all I need. I just need Dr. Tom. Well, trust me, both times you've been on, the downloads have been fantastic. So now that we're streaming on iTunes as well, in its own feed, the numbers have blown up. So the audience will be even larger than ever before in history of evers.
Outstanding. That's another juggernaut like Bite This, right?
Yes.
Okay. Fantastic.
We when first we had you on, we talked about when the dinosaurs roamed, and then the Ice Age came, and then the Earth cooled. Then we started to move into more modern times the last time you were here, and we talked about you being, you know, as a fan, as a kid, and starting your career. But now I kind of wanted to transition to you making the leap from Smoky Mountain to WWE, and kind of just was it fun? Was it exciting? Were you worried and nervous? How did it all come about?
Well, yeah, I think it was exciting, nervous, and everything wrapped into one, because I never expected to go to WWF at that time at all. But once we got there, yeah, it was very exciting, but it was also nerve-wracking for a number of reasons. But it was a natural progression if you're going to do anything in the business. And of course, business was down, and a lot of things were happening at that time. But yeah, it was a real, real cool time. It was an exciting time. It was a time of change, that's for sure. So I was just happy and fortunate to be at the right place at the right time in Smoky Mountain and get a chance to go.
You had worked in your whole career. Well, I'm sure there were probably some exceptions, but for the most part, in an 18-foot ring, correct? Up until that point?
Yeah, well, the biggest ring prior to WWE was in Los Angeles.
Yeah.
Yeah, they had that ring in the Olympic Auditorium that had a huge apron, and it was a 24-foot ring, you know, 22 on the inside, but outside the apron, and it was 24 feet, and then WWE's is 20 by 20. So it had been a while since I'd worked in such a big ring. But yeah, man, it's just and plus the ropes were actual ropes.
Ropes.
In the South, and most of the rings I'd worked in, they were cable. So you know, it was a bit of a change, bit of a difference. But you adapted, and we adapted, and did what we had to do.
Did you kind of feel like the king of Kingsport going to this high society dinner? I mean, after having been in Smoky Mountain for a while, or were you prepared and adjusted?
No, I wasn't. I wasn't prepared or adjusted, and I'm still maladjusted. but the thing is, you know, it's all perception and an illusion all at the same time, and with my brother being there too, it was kind of a, I didn't want to do anything to cause trouble, make waves, or disappoint. And I managed to do all three probably the first month. So, you know, it was just one of those things that it wasn't any different than where we had been before, except it was completely different than anywhere we had ever been before, if that makes any sense.
Yeah.
We knew all the guys who were there pretty much. And if we didn't know them, we had heard of them mutually through friends. And we had that to talk about and that to connect with. So, yeah, it was a little nerve wracking because you're going to WWF at that time. And I knew in my heart of hearts they had no real plans for us. They were just looking for Cornette, which is fine. Again, we got there and we were happy to be where we were. So I had no complaints, man. I was happy to even get the opportunity to go.
Was it a how aggressive was the schedule with the WWF when you were still in Smoky Mountain? Like, how many shots did you come up and do?
Oh, man. Well, we started with SummerSlam with the Steiners in Detroit, and then we were getting TVs here and there. And it wasn't until after, I think in 94, after Jimmy and I went to we had a tour to Japan. I think we had 3 weeks to do, and we did that and came back, and that's when we signed a contract, and there was no guaranteed contracts. We just signed that we were going to come work for WWF. I believe it was in something. Well, maybe it might have been May of 94, shortly before, right after. Hell, I don't know. But that's when Smoky Mountain, whenever Smoky Mountain was in its end days, that's when we signed. That's when we left. So I mean, we got some shots here and there before, but wasn't anything firsthand. I mean, it wasn't anything we couldn't handle, that's for sure.
Yeah.
Until after we got on full time, so.
And then you really screwed it up.
Of course. Did you know that Titus O'Neil is a Celebrity Mega Dad of the Year winner 2015? Congrats, Titus O'Neil. What a way to go, huh?
Congrats. Yeah. Now, your time and tenure in the ring and I'm going to skip over the zip years because that was pretty much just a rib or what?
Yeah, it had to be a rib, and I think it was more something just to say, hey, would you like a job? Well, let's see what you'll do for that. And hey, would you mind cutting your hair and dyeing it blonde and a crew cut? You know, after knowing that, and you know what? I don't want to be a conspiracy theorist, but I think that was just to prove to me that. Want to show me who's holding the cards and who's dealing the hand. And if you don't like it, you can go back and work for Ivan Putski's promotion in Houston. Oh, wait, that was gone. Sorry.
Yeah. Now, would you have gotten the job training people if you did not do the zip thing?
I don't know. I really don't know. I mean, we can always look back and say, if, what if, you know, if is a metal word in life, but who knows? I really couldn't tell you that, man. I just know that I was off for the gig and I took it, and for whatever reason.
And well, there you were. So you were there in Stanford, miserable with your haircut.
No, 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 no. Wait,
no, not yet. You were miserable.
I don't believe I was miserable. It just was perceived as miserable. I was pretty happy.
Really?
Yeah, man. I mean, you guys just saw that because that was hurting, man. I had a bit. Let me just stop you right here because let me kind of lay this out for you. I got kicked in the face in Smoky Mountain by Jackie Fulton in the middle of a match out of nowhere. This guy just throws a kick, man, as hard as he can and jam my neck. And I couldn't even sell it. It hurt so bad. And I just look at him and said, you stupid MF. And he could have killed me, but I grabbed him and just hit him as hard as I could, which didn't affect him anyway. But the point is, I mean, my neck to this day is in constant pain. And that's why I look like, you know, I don't smile a lot anyway, and it's just because I don't really, there's nothing, not that there's not anything to smile about, it's just that, man, my friggin' neck, just like a lot of guys, after years of abuse, really hurt. Now, did I need to do everything I did for my neck? No, of course not. I loved what I did when I did what I did, but be that as it may, I wasn't miserable in Stanford. I actually liked living in Stanford for a while, to be honest with you.
It was, well, again, it started off pretty small, you know, although you're one of your first, you know, people that you worked with, and I don't say trainees because he was already trained, turned out to be the biggest star, you know, arguably in the history of sports entertainment, The Rock.
Yeah, yeah, and Mark Henry did pretty good, too. The only guy who didn't really make it too far was Occam.
Yep.
Occam Albrecht. But yeah, man, it started out small, but it is what it is today.
A lot of pressure. I know that you had like some thoughts about, you know, kind of the way things were done. Did you have that curriculum in mind? Because now you've written a book outlining your curriculum, and it's published and available. Where can people order that book?
They can order it at Amazon or drtompritchard.com.
There are many wrestling trainers, and the title of the book is, because I don't have it in front of me, it's upstairs in my room.
Yeah, it's a pro wrestling curriculum. That's all you need to know. Just type in my name, a pro wrestling curriculum, suggestions, advice for anybody who's in professional wrestling or wanting to start professional wrestling. And to answer your question, no, I didn't have that in mind at all. I had an idea and I had a plan, but plans change. And that's how I learned that you can't have something set in stone. You can have an outline, you can have an idea, and that's what I had, but this curriculum that I did came about because someone said that they needed to know how someone gets trained from day one to the end of a year. And I said, it doesn't work like that. You kind of go and you feel it. And some people learn quicker than others. Some people get it and some people don't. But if that's what you want, man, I'll give it to you. And as soon as I was ready to give it to you, they said, nah, we don't need you here anymore. See you later. And I said, okay, I'll just take this with me.
And so there you go.
Yeah.
I know it's a great book for for wrestling trainers, for people that are interested in professional wrestling, of learning how to do it, or for people that are just fans of the sport, because it gives you some insight into the mind of one of the best and most influential trainers in the past 20 years. You're running pretty good company there, young man. You know that?
Yeah, yeah. I think we've done a pretty good job. I'm proud of what I was able to accomplish. And one of the things that I know, and anybody who's trained with me knows, I've never said it was because of me. The only reason was because of me. No, you have to have somebody to help you. But the fact is, you need the talent. And if you don't have good talent and something to work with, it doesn't matter how good of a trainer you are. You know, you can't teach I don't think you can teach a pig how to. Well, I don't know what you can teach a pig. I've never taught a pig, but maybe you can. So, I mean, I don't know. But you need to have somebody who's receptive and able to learn and listen and follow through. So, I mean, I've been very fortunate, and I've been very, very happy and lucky and proud of what I've done the last 20 years.
Who was the most naturally gifted? Who took to it the fastest, from somebody that really started from the beginning?
You know, that's hard to say, hard to really remember. I do know that Kurt Angle, you know, as an amateur wrestler, most of the amateur guys couldn't grasp what we did. Briscoe and Denny Hodge were the exceptions. But Kurt Angle is a gold medalist. The first time I ever locked up with him, he was a natural. He told him before we even locked up, I have nothing to prove to you, Kurt. So when he locked up, he was great. He got the movement, he got the idea, he got the rhythm, got the flow of moving in the ring, working and listening. So Kurt was very, very natural. Although as an athlete and as a gold medalist, I can't consider him starting from the very beginning. But I can't think of anybody right offhand that. Recall.
I know the the Kurt one was the one that I was kind of thinking of, because I remember that. I remember that story and remember seeing him there in Stanford and everybody kind of just raving like, wow, this guy really just gets it, takes to it immediately. And worked out okay for him, huh?
Well, yeah, but that's the thing. You know, amateur wrestlers are doing everything that's just really alien and foreign to them in professional wrestling. You know, you're taught not to get on your back. You're taught not to give anything. You're taught not to show any emotion or pain. And now he's having to learn, you know, this new art form. And he really did take to it. And once he got to it, man, he because he could do amateur moves to you and not hurt you at all. And that was some of the stuff he would do was so amazing. And it was part of being a pro is learning that take care of your opponent. And Kurt got that right off the bat. So kudos to him. He has done very well.
Over the time, you know, your time spent there in Stanford, there was, you know, kind of the metamorphosis into the Dory Funk Jr. camps that you and he ran in, you know, joint effort. Those were always very fun. And then you had some great talent that came through there. And then that was sort of the next leap was the developmental system in the WWE. And that was an experience all into itself, because you had to deal with, you know, a lot of new people and new situations and, you know, kind of hope for the best that it was all going to work out. But everything seemed to, even though there were some struggles and growing pains along the way, it all seemed to go so well.
Yeah, there was some growing pains definitely along the way, and I likened it to, especially when we went to Louisville for OVW, it was like the generals in Washington running the war in Afghanistan. You know, you had to be there on the ground, you had to see and be a part of it, at least go see it. You know, when we went down there once a week for a month, you know, once a week or once a month for a week. Thank you. I'll get it out. At least we saw what was going on, and we would talk to Danny and Jim and Rip and the guys who were there. Whereas some of the people in Stanford would come up with an idea and not understand the dynamics and what was going on at the time in Louisville, not just with the talent, but with, you know, the people who were involved in the office.
Plus you're starting to take some office people at that time and throw them in the mix. Non-wrestling people, office people shouldn't have anything to do with professional wrestling.
Well, yeah. And in this case, even the developmental system for a sports entertainment company, because it's a different animal than anybody's dealt with before, unless you've been around guys who want to be in wrestling at that time. Now I'm not so sure, but yeah, you had some office people who all of a sudden felt they knew what was the best, and whether they did or didn't, you know, they were there for better or worse.
Were you personally poisoned by Julie's coffee? Because Julie, of course, Danny Davis's wife, you know, for lack of a better word, makes the worst coffee ever, according to you, Tom. And I just want to know, like, were you poisoned by her? Or what happened? Because this is all going to get back to Julie.
No, I realize that. I believe she put bird droppings in my coffee every morning. I'm convinced. And I'll leave it at that.
It's a different brew, a different home brew.
Yes.
From Mrs. Danny there. And you stayed at the palatial Davis Castle.
Well, yeah, I did. You know, I mean, when I first got first started going Louisville, I'd stay in a hotel. But then again, you know, we're trying to save money, and then Danny offered he had plenty of room at the house, and why not, man? It gave me also a chance. You know, after class, he had tapes and other things we could talk about concerning OVW. So, yeah, man, I enjoyed staying at the palatial Davis Dynasty or whatever it's called. Yeah,
I had a great time hanging out there. And I made fewer trips than you to OVW, but when I did, it was always a lot of fun. You know, the transition from the original Davis Arena to the new Davis Arena was like, you know, night and day. When you talk about a basically it looked like a bombed out warehouse. And then you went from that facility, but great training. Again, just enough electricity, just enough water, just enough everything to make it work. And then you went from there to the new spacious palatial Davis Arena across town. And, man, it was like moving on up to the east side.
Yeah, and that was something, you know, John Laurinaitis suggested. Danny started looking for a new place. Even though he was getting the job done in Jeffersonville, which is where the old place was, right across the bridge from Louisville, it is perception. And moving to the new building had given him a lot of room and a new place to shoot TV, and it looked a lot better, and it was a lot nicer setup for the fans. So. Yeah, it was a moving on up thing with Danny, and at that time too, I believe he was looking to he was running more towns as well, and that really helped help their cause too.
He had a lot of fun. He had a lot of good crew there. It was a good time, and still continues to produce great television and great product today. Long away from the involvement of the WWE, as you and I both find ourselves now at this point in our career, far away from the WWE. And
yeah,
are you happy? You're doing good. I mean, I know you personally, but yeah, the audience, I want the audience to know.
Yeah, man, I'm doing great. I feel good. I'm feeling great. I still talk to some friends and people there and all over the place. I'm doing, and I know we'll talk about this later, but I'm doing a gig for Sin Bodhi coming up. Four shots, you know, two shots in Vegas and two shots in Los Angeles for Freak Show Wrestling coming up, man. That's, I want to say July. Hold on, man. Let me look real quick while we're on this because otherwise I'll forget. Got a few camps coming up, but yeah, it's in. Yeah, sure it is. It's in July 16th, 17th. I'm going to be in Vegas, and then the 18th and 19th, just Saturday and Sunday, in Los Angeles with Freak Show Wrestling.
That's going to be great.
Yeah, it's going to be really great. I get to see Stan. I get to see a lot of people I haven't seen in a while. So, yeah, I mean, I'm happy, man. You got to live. You got to go on.
That's right. I hope they, you know, maybe light you on fire or something while you're there in that Freak Show Wrestling.
Yeah, we discussed it. I think they were talking about cutting off one of my toes as well.
Oh, God. So, yeah. Well, listen, you can go back nine more times. Yeah. So, all right. So what else is going on? What else is happening in the world of Dr. Tom? There's got to be more stuff than these camps, right?
There's a lot of stuff, man. There's a guy by the name of Brian Logan, former AWA World Heavyweight Champion, by the way. Yeah, I know. Anyway, he has a Roku channel called Logan's World TV, and you can find it at logansworldtv.com. And Brian is living in Dandridge, Tennessee, and he has a house on a golf course with a studio in his basement. Now, when I heard this, you know, yeah, he lives on a golf course. Yeah, he has a studio in his basement. I'm thinking, yeah, he has a little green curtain hanging up and a Polaroid camera, whatever kind of camera, cheap camera. Actually, he has a studio, broadcast quality studio in his basement. And I talked to him at a show, and he said, why don't you give me a call if you'd like to do something? Well, of course, I'd like to do something. So I gave him a call and said, man, why don't you just come over? I have an idea. So I went over to his house on a Saturday and a Sunday, and on Saturday, a couple months ago, I shot 6 1-hour episodes on a Saturday and 6 1-hour episodes on a Sunday of a thing called The Office Visit with Dr. Tom. And he puts it on his Roku channel. And we talk about a different topic for an hour, you know, whether it's the territories or promoters, the world champions, who are the outlaws in the business. I can't remember every topic. Well, you know, we'll talk about that and do six of those a day. So we just shot episode or season two 2 weeks ago, and it's really, really cool. And on his Roku channel, again, if you go to this Roku channel, again, Brian, it's Logan's World TV. He has old wrestling DVDs, old wrestling tapes, I guess, horror movies, retro TV shows, cartoons, just a lot of freaky stuff on there, man. Some really cool stuff. And of course, the office visit with Dr. Tom and Matt McCormick. So, I'm doing that. I'm also doing some of these conventions with Brian Logan. In fact, coming up on June 6th and 7th, we're doing Fanboy here in Knoxville at the Convention Center. Myself, the Dirty White Boy, Tony Anthony, and Wendell Cooley are all going to be through together.
Wildcat Wendell Cooley?
We have Wildcat Wendell Cooley after 20 years of not doing anything. I worked with him in Pell City, Alabama last year, and we were sitting there talking. And actually, the day that I did the office visit Saturday for 6 hours, I had to leave and go to Pell City. And Brian said, if you happen to see Wendell, you know, tell him I'm interested in maybe putting on some of these gigs here. So I mentioned it to him, and we got them together, and it'll be Wendell Cooley, first time in 20 years he's ever done one of these conventions, but the first time the wrestling fans will get to see him, talk to him, shake his hand, get an autograph. We'll be a Fanboy in Knoxville. Piper will be there, Edge, I don't remember who else, but it's a big deal. So yeah, the Dirty White Boy, Wendell Cooley, and myself will be at the Logan's World setup at Fanboy, and that's June 6th and 7th in Knoxville, man. So I got to tell you, though, I mean, the office visit is kind of cool, and as you know, it's really good to have somebody there to lead you along and kind of keep you from straying too far into the woods, and that's what Matt does. Matt McCormick's a great host, great guy, and It's a pretty cool setup. So if you have Roku, check out Logan's World TV.
Well, there you go. Is it easier or harder to do TV? Because you've done, you know, you did hundreds of episodes of whatever the syndicated show was. Maybe not hundreds, but probably close to 100 or so. The syndicated television show in WWF with me. And some others, and then we did dozens and dozens and dozens of episodes of Bite This together. But now, having been away from it, was it hard to kind of jump back in, or, man, was it easy to kind of, you know, I'm used to this feeling. It feels good.
No, I got to tell you, it was a little difficult for me, just for the mere fact that I thought when I originally agreed to do it, I thought, oh, this would be great because I've done it before and it'll be easy to snap back into it. For me, personally, I know some people can do that, but for me, it was. I got that nervous feeling that I hadn't got in a long, long time because you know how it is when the words won't come out right and you can't remember what you're going to say? Maybe you don't, but I do. Right. You know, and so that's what was, you know, we're doing like four or five takes. It should have been done in one, and I know I can do this. It's just getting back in the swing, getting back in the groove. When you're not doing something every day, you know, it's a lot harder for me. Let me just speak for myself. When I work every day, it's just, but at the same time, like I said, you know, it was, when I did Bite This or when I did Metal or whenever I did whatever it was, you knew how to lead me, down that path. And Matt McCormick does the same thing. He knows, you know, don't let Tom get too far out here because I don't know if we can bring him back, but he knows how to do that. And that's talent. So, but it's still cool, man. It's very cool to do. And I'm very happy and glad that I get to do it.
You were, not a, second generation star. You and, your slightly older brother kind of got in around the same time, but.
My younger brother.
Oh, I'm sorry. I meant to say your slightly younger brother got into this at the same time, but yours was a first generation relationship. You both got yourselves into wrestling without the assistance of someone older. Question that I have for you is, if you had a son, would you want him to be in wrestling now?
No, I would not.
And is that because of the physical nature of what they do? Is it the lifestyle, or is it a little bit of that and more?
Yeah, it's a little bit of that and much more. Just the mental, gymnastics, I guess, that you have to deal with daily, and it's a it's never ending. It's just not conducive to a normal lifestyle. You know what I mean, man?
Yeah.
It's fun. It's exciting, but I wouldn't want anyone. I wanted to go through it, and I wanted to put myself through it. But you know, after going through it, I wouldn't want anyone who has any semblance of sanity or wishes to live a normal, prosperous life to engage in the business right now. I mean, you can be prosperous, but you have to know how to get over, and not just with the people, you know, I mean, you have to, yeah. So, I mean, no, I wouldn't want that on anybody, because it's a lot of effort, man.
It's hard.
Yeah. It's very hard. Really is. And, you know, you're gambling, and if it was my son, I'd rather have them do something a little more stable.
Like
buy a hamburger stand, man, and just because people like hamburgers, you know. Buy a Wendy's franchise or something. But, you know, you don't have the odds are against you being a superstar, and especially today, man. Oh, my God. You better be something really special.
And how much of that do you think obviously when there were 27, 28 different territories around, there were a lot more jobs to have.
Of course.
That obviously has played a big role. But there are plenty of independent shows around.
There's plenty of independent shows around, but the only place you're really going to make a living is going to be the major company. I mean, to make a real living. Otherwise, you're just out there. It's a hobby, and it's not, you know, if you're living off that, then you're single and you're doing something else. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. If you had it to do all over again, would you have gotten into wrestling?
Yeah, I would. I would, but once again, my goals, and of course you change as you get older, but my goals were just to do something I really loved. And at that time I really loved, and I still love wrestling. I'm still a fan, but that was all I could see myself doing. And it was that lifestyle, not necessarily the lifestyle that the guys lead today. You know, it's a whole different business today than it was when I broke in. So, I would still want to do it. I certainly would. You know, I never wanted to be in the same place 2 days in a row. I never wanted to do the same thing 2 days in a row. I mean, yeah, it was very, very cool. After going through it, though, I would hate for someone that I cared about to go through it. You know what I mean?
Yeah, I know. That's it right there.
Yeah.
That's the line. It's like, it's okay for me to do this,
right,
but it's not okay for you.
Yeah, exactly.
That's it. Did you ever get your neck fixed?
No. I sleep on a baseball, man. I have to sleep on my side. I can't lay on my back for more than 15 minutes. That's why I got an MRI last year, and I could not lay there for the hour, 45 minutes, and I kept moving. So I had to come back the next day, and I had to take Valium to relax, because I can't. But I mean, it's my fault. It is what it is. I just can't handle it the way I used to handle it. And that's good and bad, I guess.
What did they say with your back and your neck?
I have the back and neck of a 90-year-old man, is what they say. I mean, yeah, they were going to fix it in Tampa. I don't really want anybody cutting on my neck. And we never got it done because I went to the university. It was FSU, or is it FSU or
USF?
Thank you. Whatever. USF. FSU, USF, whatever. University of South Florida. It's all the same.
They got always a heel. The only reason I know is because I used to live there. So it's University of South Florida.
Didn't you go to University of South Florida?
No, I didn't. But my friend, a couple of my friends did. But even though Tampa is not South Florida, that's where the University of South Florida is.
Exactly.
That's why it's easy for me to remember. That's how I remembered it.
And that's where I went. And the guy was going to do it, but I never got it done. I just never got it done. And I don't.
The case of Poseidus, right?
Yes, Poseidus. Exactly. you are so correct. But it terrifies me because you're going in and you're cutting on somebody's my neck. Not somebody, my neck. I just it freaks me out.
Yeah.
Unless I have the guy who knew what he was doing, I didn't have faith in this guy. Something told me in my gut, no. So, yeah, I'm dealing with it.
Well,
yeah.
There you go.
Yeah.
All right. Let me ask you this. This is a question that we were asking each other, and we've been asking each other over the past couple of weeks, me and Justin. And we're going to come back, and we're going to play a game in a few minutes. So don't think you're off the hook after this.
Oh, okay.
All right. If you had to give an answer right now, does Hulk Hogan or Stone Cold Steve Austin, do either of them wrestle at next year's WrestleMania?
Wow. Well, let's say this. I would say certainly Hogan would perform in the ring and have a match because you can get around that.
Okay.
Austin, I don't think has to. I don't think he wants to. He might kick some ass. He might nail somebody. But I think Hogan certainly wants to have a match from what I read. But who knows what you read? Who knows if what you're reading is true, too?
Right.
But, you know, I do understand the love of it. I do understand the love of wanting to get in the ring. I don't know that Steve wants to get in the ring anymore. I think Hogan probably does because, again, it won't be a Daniel Bryan, TJ Wilson type match.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? It'll be a performance. So, I mean, I don't see anything wrong with that. I don't think, and once again, I think Steve is okay where he's at and he might nail somebody and stun somebody and that's it. Hogan, I can see maybe dropping the leg. I don't know.
Yeah.
He's had a hip replacement, right?
Oh, I know. I think at least one. I think so. I have said, and I'm doing this just to sort of be like contrarian because I think right now I've said no to both weeks because I said I don't think Vince will let Hogan wrestle and I don't think Austin wants to wrestle. Justin thought a couple of weeks ago, yes to Hogan, no to Austin, which was what you said here. But now he thinks both are going to wrestle. Now we've got a long time to go until we get to next year's Mania.
Yeah. I think the difference is Steve knows what he did and he knows he can't do what he once did. Hogan knows what he did and he can still do what he once did in a lot less moves and get the same reaction. Steve can do a lot less too and get the same reaction, I feel. But I just think that he knows he doesn't want to go out there and do a match because that's especially WrestleMania. If you can't be the badass you once were, I don't think he has any interest.
Right.
I could be wrong.
Tom, I do want to ask you about, you know, a lot of the changes in developmental over the last few months. And the biggest change from where I sit, you know, as far as I'm concerned, is, you know, Bill DeMott stepping down as the trainer. He was the guy that replaced you. Now they have other people in charge of that. Jason Albert, I guess, is taking the reins and sort of leading the charge. what lessons can we learn from Bill DeMott? Was Bill DeMott wrong? Did Bill DeMott, you know, was he the bad guy in this? You know, say whatever you want. It's your, you know, this is your floor. You could say as much or as little about this as you like.
Well, here's the deal, and I've said this on a couple podcasts so far. Personally, I have nothing against Bill DeMott. I have no issues with Bill DeMott. We've had dinner. We've exchanged pleasantries. We've been always been civil around each other. It's not a problem. But I feel that anybody who's in that position as a head coach is going to catch the heat for anything that goes down. Right, wrong, or indifferent, you're not always going to be everybody's favorite guy. There's going to be somebody. And trust me, that I have my detractors as well that don't really care for Dr. Tom. And there's people who do. Same thing with Bill. You know, everybody came out and vilified poor Bill DeMott, and then you had your defenders of Bill DeMott. I can't speak on anything that I didn't see personally because I wasn't there, and it's just hearsay. But I have heard from people who did see things that happened at the in Tampa, I think is where most of the infractions occurred, I guess. But the thing that I have talked about is the picture of Gallows with a strawberry donut up his ass or cream jelly-filled donut in Zack Ryder and Melissa Coates' face. Now, what I've said to that is, how in the world does that ever become okay? You know, because Bill said it wasn't his idea. It was those 30 students who suggested make a deal to get out of class and not train that day. Hey, let's put a jelly donut up Drew's ass and have him put it in Melissa and Ryder's face. How do you not say, no, that's not a good idea. Let's come up with something else, because people have cameras. People are going to talk, and it's just something that just seeing that picture and knowing that actually did happen, that's the damning part. Even though it was years before and it was in Deep South, how is that ever right? How do you not say, no, we're not going to do that. Let's come up with something else. But to say, okay, let's do it, not just to Zach, but let's do it to Melissa Coates. That doesn't – right there I have an issue. But again, training, I said this before too, I don't understand the purpose of someone squatting or standing on the top rope, squatting or just standing there while you have four guys hit the ropes. It's inviting injury. It's inviting disaster. So, Bill has his way of training. I have mine. And I've said this before. There's not just one way to learn the business, not just one way to learn wrestling. You have your way, I have my way, but the right way and the only way does not exist. So what Bill was doing, was that what Hunter wanted? Is that what was mandated and he did it? I mean, I don't know. Who knows? But if those things did happen, then of course he should have left. But if those things did not happen, Kevin, let me ask you this. Why don't you go to Hunter and say, look, that's a lie. That never happened. Let me fight these charges. I wouldn't just resign. I mean, CM Punk made allegations towards Dr. Amon, and Amon's suing him. Amon and WWE are suing Punk.
Right.
If these guys are making accusations that Bill DeMott did these things, instead of resigning, why don't you say, that never happened. Those allegations are not true, and I'm going to defend my name. I'm going to defend my honor, my reputation. But what he did was he resigned. Now, for whatever reason, I mean, that doesn't look very good to me. But as far as a person, Bill's, I've never had a harsh word with Bill. He's entertaining. He's funny. He can be charming. But, you know, as a coach, he has his way of doing things. I didn't always agree with him. But if that's and you gotta look at it like this. I don't know if Hunter knew what I was doing or not, because – no, I take that back. I know Hunter was doing – knew what I was doing because he had stooges down there anyway, but that's here and there. So he knew what I was doing, so he had to know what Bill was doing, I would think. Okay?
Yeah. Let me ask you this. Now that they have cameras in the new training center, what about the people who were stooges? Like, what's their job now? We don't need a stooge because we got cameras. Like, what about the stooges? Can't we? What about them, Tom? Damn it.
You know, well, the stooges still go out and they still get stooged. They still find out when the cameras aren't on. That's still a stooge's job, just so you know. Yeah. Yeah. So, I mean, hey, man, it's always going to be that way. And you know that, too. But yeah, the cameras, that's the other thing. When they moved into the performance center, I understood Bill was a great, good citizen when he got there, you know, because the cameras don't lie. But bottom line is this. Someone cared that much, whatever it was, 3 years later, 2 years later, to bring it up. And then more people kept bringing it up and bringing up other instances. Some people cared enough about it to bring it up at a later time, and it caused Bill to say, I'm going to resign. Now, wait a minute. These are 2 or 3 years old, all these allegations and things. Why now? And why would you resign? You know, I mean, that's just the questions I have. But as far as Bill DeMott as a person, I have no issues with him. As a coach, I don't know that his way was better than mine. I know his way was just different.
I know there was a story I heard late last week about the University of Illinois football coach and being hit with some allegations of some rough treatment of players. You know, and it was basically he was going to fight these charges because they were untrue, and he felt that they came from simply, the bitter people who never made it in football. And so therefore they were kind of coming back and taking it out on him. And basically the assertions were centered around, well, I was still hurt and he made me play.
Right.
I was told one thing and it happened to be another. He lied to me. Do you think now I know DeMott kind of came out and talked about the fact that saying it without saying it, it's like kids are pussies today. And they can't, you know, they're just not tough enough and everybody's looking to blame somebody in these damn millennials.
Right.
Do you see any of that? Did you see any of that throughout your time? Because when you started, you were training young men. Occam was the oldest of the three, but you were training young men I think Occam was university educated. So three university educated men.
Right.
And one was an Olympic competitor. One had played college football and a little bit of pro football, and one had been like a bodybuilder or powerlifter over in Europe. So you were dealing with men. Now you're throwing some kids into the mix over time and young 20 somethings. Was there any validity to what DeMott said in that regard?
Of course. I mean, you're going to have guys who are a little more sensitive, but that was where you had to learn how to deal with the different personalities. You know, I read Bill's book, too, The Last Laugh. You know, I want to mention this because I went back and reread it. You know, he gave me one when he came in 2012.
And he make you pay for it?
No, yeah, he signed it to me. He was very nice about that. Yeah, I got a good deal. But the point is, there's some untruth and there's some misinformation. He said that I didn't have to move to Georgia. When I did move to Georgia, you know, Aaliyah was my daughter was going to high school.
Mm-hmm.
Here, and she had 2 years left, so my wife and daughter were staying here while I went and did my deal in Georgia. He talks about he used to come to the matches after he was fired, and in his book he even talks about, he said, well, there was a rumor that I was stirring, causing trouble, and I'm not going to deny it. I won't say I did, but what if I did? So what? And that's how he says it in his book. So, you know, he talks about there were 15 guys who wrote letters, and the same thing that happened in Deep South seemed to happen in FCW. So, you know, yes, you're going to have guys who don't always react well when you yell, scream, or do things like that. But that was the job. We understood the job, you know, when Steve Kern and myself took the gig in Tampa. We understood that we had to deal with these different personalities. Do you have to be stern? Do you have to be hard? Yes. But do you also have to know that some of these guys, the first time they're out by themselves, and yes, it's a tough business. Yes, it's a hard road. Yeah, it's a hard life. But, you know, realizing that, you have to recognize the various personalities and various problems you could have and head them off with the past the best you can. So were there some who were pussies and couldn't take it and shouldn't have been there? Of course there were. But I don't remember a whole lot of letters being wrote about Steve or myself.
Well, that's because I didn't have any stamps.
Damn it. Yeah. So, I mean, but once again, don't get me wrong. I know I wasn't everybody's favorite and most popular. Neither was Steve, and neither was anybody in that spot. So you're always going to have somebody disgruntled. You're always going to have somebody upset. You're always going to have – never going to make everybody happy. It's just that, you know, Bill had a way of making more people unhappy, I guess. I don't know.
Well, you make a lot of people happy, Dr. Tom.
Yeah.
It's true. Everybody, you know, who in Ring of Honor, you are like held in extremely high regard. And I told Tom the other day when I called him to say, hey, I'd like you to come on the show that we're going to record this Monday night. And I said, hey, when you called me the other day, we were sitting in a meeting and I was sitting next to Christopher Daniels and I showed him that it was you on the phone. And he was like, oh, my God, Dr. Tom, please tell him I said hi. And you passed your hellos back to him and to Steve Corino and to anybody else that you might know. And just walking in the hall and, you know, and hey, how is Dr. Tom? You know, Bob Evans asking questions, Steve Corino asking questions, Frankie Kazarian and Christopher Daniels and all these people that know you. And it's like, man, you're with us, even though you weren't there physically.
Yeah, that's cool. It really is cool.
I didn't say a damn nice word about you, though.
I believe that, too, and that's even cooler. Because I know where you hang out in the parks and look for little girls on swings.
That's not true. You're a creep.
That's true.
That is true. All right, let's take a quick time out. Then we're going to come back with Dr. Tom. We're going to play a name association game that's going to have everybody talking tomorrow. So stand by because the Kevin Kelly Show continues here on the Place to Be Nation, placetobenation.com.
Wrestling podcast to be informed by historical and analytical insight and by obsessive watching of footage from any era and any promotion and for them all to be available on one feed?
Sure do, Parv.
Chad, are you ready to shill?
I am, because I know you're talking about the Pro Wrestling Only Place to Be Nation Podcast Network.
Let's go through that again. PWOPTBN Podcast Network.
Got it. That's where you can listen to all sorts of different shows covering the history of pro wrestling in detail.
Shows like Titans of Wrestling with my boys Pete, the man of 10,000 discs, and Kelly, the jobber lover.
I'm a jobber.
The Pro Wrestling Super Show with Stephen Graham.
Join me, Stephen Graham.
The smash hit wrestling game show Brainbuster with
Johnny Sorrow.
We have a host of top contributors like wrestling historian Chris Zellner.
Hello, everyone. This is Chris Zellner here, starting a new podcast venture.
And the Pro Wrestling Only admins, the man who knows more about 90s wrestling than maybe anybody on earth, Charles, and good old Will from Texas.
This is Will, and I'm joined today by my good buddy Charles.
Whether it's the territories, WWF, NWA, Mid-South, Texas, Portland, tag team wrestling, Japanese wrestling, lucha, old school, new school, we got it.
And, of course, the feed still has the mothership itself,
with the big boys play,
on which we continue our endless journey through WCW Supercards.
PWOPTBN Podcast Network. It's pro wrestling only.
You know you want to hear it.
All right, we're back. We're going to wrap up this edition of the Kevin Kelly Show with our guest this hour. Dr. Tom Pritchard is here. We covered a whole lot of ground during the interview segment, but now, Tom, we're going to have a little bit of fun. couple of laughs, and then we'll send the people home. This is how we do it.
Wait, you have people in your house?
It's a metaphor. I'm speaking metaphorically.
The cops usually go to his house.
But let's go to, and Justin is here, and Dan McGinn wrote these questions, Tom. So if you hate the game, if you think the game sucks, send all the hate mail to Dan McGinn. But I think this is going to be really
good.
Don't
hate the game, hate the McGinn.
That's
gotcha.
I think McGinn is going to be
t-shirt.
Stepping up huge for this one.
Okay, we'll see.
All right.
So, you ready?
Give it to us.
I'm going to say a name.
Explain how it works, because neither Tom nor I are very smart.
All right, we got a list of names throughout wrestling history, current and past. And I will say that name, and I want the first thing that pops in each of your minds. So, Tom, you go first. Kevin, you go second for each of these, okay? And just the first thing that pops in your mind association-wise with each of these people. Are you ready?
Yeah.
All right. Tom, you're first. We'll go Daniel Bryan. Oh.
Daniel Bryan. Wow, that pops into my head first of all. Wow, what an impact.
First thing that pops into my head is humble and gracious. That's really what I think of with him, just how nice and sweet a guy he always has been.
Yeah, but he'll never get over.
Well, that is true. You're right. So.
Yeah, exactly. So, what an impact he's made, and what a shame.
Brock Lesnar.
A monster. I mean, credible, credible, credible.
He is the smartest guy in the room because he figured out that he can get full-time money and work part-time.
Yeah, good move, Kevin Kelly.
James E. Cornette.
Oh, man. He is a mad genius who I love to death.
Yeah, I was going to say the idiot savant who wears his heart on his sleeve.
Yes.
One of the most passionate people. Tom and I both love Jimmy to death, and we've seen the best of him. We've seen the most emotionally yelling, screaming of him. Were you there when he slapped Santino?
I was not, but I heard everything from every angle.
I heard it. I heard the stories too. So
yeah, superlatives, whatever they're called, the colorful words. I heard them all.
The American Dream, Dusty Rhodes, baby.
Oh, you know, I gotta say, the Dream has become one of my favorites. He was a favorite of mine before, but he's been like a mentor. And he's also been one of those guys that you would never think you could just call up and have a conversation with, no matter what it's about, the time of day, the weather, and absolutely nothing at all, and laugh on the phone. He's one guy I will guarantee that I will laugh at least once, probably three times minimum on the phone with. Just he has become a mentor to me in more ways than one. I hope that's enough words.
Oh, that's plenty of words. That's great.
Not too many words is what I meant.
Well, I knew, JR, I knew when you said that one, and good job, McGinn, for getting this one, because the Dream is very special to Dr. Tom, and so that was really good. And my knowledge of the Dream certainly as, just appreciation for him as a fan of his growing up. I just admired him, and Hard Times, baby. I got to get that screen print of that, what he said in that famous interview.
I got it. I'll send it to you, man. Because that's another, thank you for saying that, because that I went back and watched. Let me touch on that real quick. I went back and actually watched that promo on YouTube. And for anybody listening who doesn't know the promo, has never seen it, it's so good because it's impromptu. It's off the cuff. It's not anything that was in a script. It was just the Dream talking and being the Dream. And I got it on my phone. And how he says it and delivers it. And that's a lost art. That's incredible.
That's it.
The Rock and Roll Express.
Tag team of the 80s, one of the two guys who changed the business model of Mid-South and Crockett Promotions. You know, Crockett was a tag team territory at one time. They were small guys who got over because of their action, their charisma, and because they had it. One of the greatest tag teams of all time. Definitely a tag team of the 80s.
They were certainly very, very hardworking. But, Tom, I got to know, did the Rock and Roll Express, I mean, every night you worked with them, it was a sellout, right? They sold that sumbitch out.
Yeah, hanging from the rafters.
Hanging from the rafters. We sold that sumbitch out. And don't ever talk to Ricky about Kevin Nash because you'll get an earful.
Well, you know, actually, they had their match, right? Ricky had, and Robert, or Ricky had a, and Robert had a tag match against Kevin and Marvin Ward, I think it was, in some place in Virginia. Was
yeah? How long ago was Virginia? It?
2 years. Yeah, I mean, they apparently worked out their issues. And
oh, they buried the hatchet. Okay, I didn't know that.
Yeah, I believe so. So,
all right. So, Tom, I got to ask you this about the Rock and Roll Express. What did Stan Lane say to you in that interview when you guys, when Smoky Mountain invaded WCW and Bill Watts called Jim Cornette a sissy and said he didn't want to have to get a shot for something he would catch? The assumption and the insinuation was that he had AIDS or something. And Stan Lane walked over across in front of the camera and whispered something to you. What did he say?
He said, "Hey, are you still like hanging and are your balls cold?" I was it. And I said, I looked at him and said, "Yeah, my balls are freezing right now, man. I can hardly wait to warm them up." And I just told him that wasn't very appropriate for that time and place. And he apologized afterwards.
That was Stan.
I don't remember when I told you that, but it sounds better than, you know, don't let the facts get in the way of a good story, right?
I love the facts.
Oh, I think that's a good next name, though. Let's do Stan Lane.
Stan, you know what? Stan was great. I never had a harsh word with Stan, and he was a lot of fun. And I think I spent a night with him in or a week with him in Louisville one night, or not Louisville, Knoxville. That's where it was.
You spent a week with him in Louisville one night, Knoxville one night.
Boy, yeah, Stan was entertaining as hell, man. I had a lot of good. I had some really good times with Stan, but you know, he was the gangster of love, man. He really was. You walk into a place with Stan, and that's what I mean by the charisma and magic, man. You walk in with somebody, and nobody pay any attention, but walk in with Stan, and it was that magnetism. He was the gangster of love.
Man loved his boat. He was always about being on the water, and loved everything about that. But the people in Stanford, when he was an announcer, they loved Stan too. They spoke very highly of him after he had left.
And you know he's doing the boat races now, right? He's commentating for the not ESPN, but some other,
like the Speed Channel or something like that.
Speed Channel, I believe it is. Yeah.
Doing a bunch of speed.
Yeah. Well, not anymore.
All right. Well, good.
All right, Jerry Lawler.
Jerry Lawler will be the true king in professional wrestling, and I will say sports entertainment as well. I didn't care too much for Lawler early on in my life and early on in my career, but as I got to know him and watch him and see a different side to him, he gained my respect because he's one of the hardest working guys still in the business. He, even after having a heart attack, he still does independent shows. And I saw him, I think it was last year. I went worked a casino show in Mississippi real quick. And he wrestled Gangrel. And you know what they did? You know which body part they worked in the match?
No.
Yes, of course.
The heart.
The heart punch. Thank you. The heart punch.
Jeez.
And Lawler, yes, Lawler was selling for all it was worth. And I'm just looking at it going, my God, it's nothing sacred. No, it's not. It's wrestling. Nothing sacred. You know, Ox Baker taught Gangrel the heart punch to get Lawler. I mean, come on. That can only be done in Memphis. Exactly. Exactly. God.
I love Lawler. For Lawler, I would say, you know, as somebody who was kind of a fan of his, and then getting to know him a little bit, I became less of a fan of his. when he had the heart attack, I wondered how many phonies were going to show up at his funeral, because not a lot of people like Lawler, but everybody kisses his ass and says he's a legend because he was a legend. So there you go.
But let me just say, I hate to keep touching up on this.
No, keep going.
No, but the thing is, when I got to know Lawler in the beginning, I didn't like him. But as I got to know him later on, going through the years, I saw a couple different sides of him, and I got to like and admire him even more because I knew what it took for him to get to where he got to be, and it's like he was willing to stand up for what he believed in. And he wasn't always the nicest guy. I know he wasn't. But, you know, I was there the night he walked out, and I was dealing with that issue of why he walked out the night with Kitty Cat. And then when he came back, you know, I just heard the story about Mark Eaton seeing him at an independent show and telling him, you know, you need to really come back. And Mark kind of got the ball rolling there for Lawler to return to WWE. So I can understand people not liking Lawler. But I got to see a couple of different sides of him, and it just, I got the admiration for him over the years. So.
All right, Shawn Michaels.
Oh, well, one of the most talented guys to ever step in the ring. That's what I can say. One of the most talented performers ever.
I'll say this: he's turned the biggest 180 of anybody that I've ever known,
really?
And as far as one personality, one person, then makes some changes in his life and becomes an entirely different person. And all he had to do was, and spent a lot of time as that new person saying, "Gosh, I'm sorry for what I did when I was not." When I was a different person. You know what I mean? It's the biggest metamorphosis I've ever seen, with you at like a close second or third, Tom.
Well, yeah, but I wasn't quite as, I didn't go quite as far as Sean.
No, you weren't anywhere near that, but.
And probably never will. But be that as it may.
But his change was amazing. It floored me.
Did he really change? Is my point. I don't know because I haven't seen him since he's changed. But don't get me wrong. I saw him when he changed. But has he really changed?
Only he knows for sure.
Only he knows for sure.
Right.
That's perception, I guess. So.
Jeff Jarrett.
Okay. Smart guy. He's another one. I really, really like Jeff, and I know Jeff, and he's a smart guy. You can't not be a smart guy with what he's attempting right now. I like Jeff. He's a smart guy. Smart guy.
Yeah, to me, Jeff's a very good salesman. He's an entrepreneur, and he is a, and I mean this with all due respect, he is very, very, like, carny good. He's like a throwback in wrestling.
Right. Exactly. That's a good description.
Ricky Bobby over here, with all due respect. How about Chris Jericho?
Oh, man. I think Chris Jericho is who Michael Hayes would like to be. Chris, man. You know, with... Chris was like the rock and roll star Michael wanted to be, because Chris could actually sing, I guess. I don't know, because I've heard people say he can't sing. You know, I don't know, man. But he's making a lot more. He's a game show host. He's a singer. He's a rock and roll singer. He's a brain surgeon. He's Buckaroo Banzai in the Eighth Dimension, man. Jericho entertains the living hell out of me. He's great.
Yeah, he is. He's like a renaissance man when it comes to modern professional wrestling, and has been the guy to transition out of the tail end of the Attitude Era and still be relevant all these years later. It's truly amazing.
It is amazing, man, because he did it. He did it great.
Kevin Sullivan.
Wow. He's another guy that I recently hooked back up with, reconnected with. You know, Kevin doesn't get enough credit for his creativity, not just in Atlanta, but in Tampa. And everywhere he went, Kevin had some ideas. I mean, not all of them worked. Not all of them were great. But the fact is, he understood manipulation, and he understood what he had to do to get where he wanted to be. And you know, I listen to Kevin a lot, and it's one of those things that especially now at this time, when I see people and guys that I had somewhat of connection with through the years, you know, we've hooked up. He's called me, I've called him. We've just talked about different things, and we had you know, the same friends like Mark Lewin, and Kevin was a real Kevin. At one time, he controlled a lot of influence in Atlanta and in Tampa. So he's another smart guy, and I really like Kevin too.
I was always a fan of Kevin Sullivan, and I think again he's like that. He's that evil genius. There was a guy who was and Billy Gunn told me this story. He went up to do jobs in WCW before he was anything. And went up with a couple of guys from Florida, and it was, you know, so Kevin's got the names of the, you know, who needs enhancement matches. Okay, so he's got versus so-and-so versus so-and-so. All right, what's your name? My name is Rick Diamond. Okay, you're going to wrestle, I forget who it was. And what's your name? Oh, Kip Stop. Oh, you're going to wrestle this one. And then there was another guy who smarted off. What's your name? My name's Pretty Boy Floyd. You got Steiner.
Yeah.
And just, I think they did like 3 or 4 days of TV in a row or whatever it was. And so every day, this guy either got Steiner or Kevin Sullivan or the Varsity Club or somebody, some incarnation of that, to where at the end of the week, the kid quit and went home. That was it. That was it for him in wrestling. But he took care of Kip the whole week, you know. He always gave him easy matches. That's Kevin.
It is Kevin.
All right, let's do a few more. Lex Luger.
Talk about a guy who had it all and let it go. I mean, that to me, my dealings with Lex were far and few between, but he was a guy that struck me as was entitled, was given it all at the beginning, and felt this is what he should get every time. And whether it should or shouldn't, I don't know. I mean, he looked the part, he was the part, but a little entitled, I think.
Yeah, overrated for me.
Overrated.
The most overrated guy, I think, in wrestling probably ever. That and George Gulas.
Oh, yeah, I agree with George.
Daddy said sale.
Yeah.
All right. What do we got here? Rick Martel. How about that one?
Ooh.
Wow. Yeah, you know what, man? I met Rick, when we first came to WWF. I'm going to keep saying WWF until somebody tells me not to. But it was WWF back then, and Rick was always nice, man. He's one of those guys, like I said, that you would hear about through the years, just through the grapevine and through mutual friends. You know, you knew somebody who knew somebody, and you hear about Martel and things like that. So, always a great guy, classy guy to me, man. Class act.
Yeah, was always in great shape and super nice guy. Didn't talk with him, but more than a couple of times. But enjoyed the experiences when I did.
Yeah,
Sonny.
Whoa,
your newest project, Dr. Tom, coming out shortly for Vivid Entertainment.
Wow. You know, let me say this. I think karma has a way of coming back to everybody in life. And I hate it, but at the same time, nobody escapes karma, and you reap what you sow at times. No, you reap what you sow every time, I guess. That's what I got to say about her.
It's so sad. I just remember the story of when somebody said that she was like in the studio in Stanford and was laying on the couch in between sort of like takes or shows or something like that, and was just laying there, and guys were like staring at her.
Yeah.
You know, in Master Control, and just like, oh my God, look at how pretty she is. She's just so pretty. And now to see her kind of where she is, it's just sad.
It is sad, but it's not like there wasn't anyone who tried to help her, you know?
Yeah.
So, yeah.
I'd like to blame you, Tom, but it wouldn't be fair. It wouldn't be right. I do try to blame you for other things, you know?
That's okay. I'll accept that blame, but this one I'll fight you on.
The Iraq War, the price of gas.
Cloudy.
Cloudy.
Oh, we'll blame Chris for Cloudy. Yeah.
All right, how about the American Mail? No, I'm not kidding. So last one we'll do is Kevin Kelly, Tom Bridgen.
Kevin Kelly. Well, see, here's the thing, man, and I hate saying anything when they're there, especially nice or anything like that. But without Kevin Kelly, I would have stumbled, fumbled, and fell anyway. But the fact is, I couldn't have done any of those voiceovers, any of those programs without Kevin Kelly guiding me and having the patience to put up with my dumb ass on those shows and also on the road. So because it was I don't want to mention any names, but Michael Cole would be the guy you couldn't talk to because Michael was above everything. I think Michael's kind of settled into his position now, and Michael's a nice guy, but Michael's Michael. You know, he comes from the elite world of television news, and he's a journalist and been to war and all that stuff. And yeah, I want to gag right now too. But the fact is, without guys like Kevin, who you could at least discuss wrestling with, or at least there was no pretenses, it would be a lot more miserable. So Kevin Kelly got me through mornings of shows and afternoons of the internet shows, and he knew, and he looked at me and says, "Well, you're a dumbass today, aren't you?" And I would say, "Every day I'm a dumbass, Kevin. Thank you very much." So, yeah, he got me through a lot of times where I didn't know if I was going to make it or not. Not being dramatic or not, but he, you know, there was times when I was like, "Oh man, I just don't know if I get through this."
I had so much fun at Tom's expense, though. Yeah. You know, like just
bastard.
Driving, and he's asleep, and I'm having my own. I'm making my own jokes. I'm making my own fun. But when I got to travel with Tom, it was the best. It was absolutely the best.
Yeah, and I think the statute of limitations are on now. So
I'll take him to the grave.
Yeah, me too. Oof.
All right, well, we'll save the rest for next time, Kev. So that's all I got from here.
Well, there you go.
Oh, wow. Well, I was going to say Titus O'Neil. He's a father of the year or something.
He is.
Yeah. Something.
Kevin Owens' big debut tonight. How about that?
Yeah. Kevin Owens debuted on Raw.
I saw that. I'll have to watch that back. That's
I great. Tweeted. I was looking on Twitter, and that's how I saw this happen. Matt Hardy just put up a brilliant tweet. He's so good.
What did Matt say?
Here's what Matt says. "Good to see some things never change. I just saw that bully fight Owens fight, disrespecting John Cena on Raw like he used to do to me at ROH."
The okay. Matt's video about the GoFundMe stuff was fantastic.
It was. I saw that.
We got to get him back on the show. That's what we'll do.
All right. Well, he's got to chase I'll line up Tom Hardy for appearances.
For a big return. Well, that's what I mean, because now the more repeat guests that we get, that means it's another excuse to get Tom back, because he always has to be our Tom Hanks.
Oh, there you go.
All right, we got to keep that.
That's right.
All right, but, hey, Tom.
I'd like to talk more about that Roku deal later on when we talk too. So
yeah, tell everybody one more time how they can find that.
Just go to the Roku channel. It's Logan's World TV, and you can also look at logansworldtv.com on the internet, and it will tell you, give you more information. So
on the old internet.
The old intranet, yeah. Well,
let's make it happen. All right. Tom, thank you so much, my friend, and we will talk to you again soon.
Thank you guys very much. Have a wonderful evening.
All right, you too. Take care. Well, that's our pal, Dr. Tom Pritchard, and that puts a bow on this edition of the Kevin Kelly Show. JR, is there anything you'd like to add as before we say goodnight?
Just visit placementnation.com. Get to listen to the Payback Reaction Show with our buddies from Pro Wrestling Only. It was a great show, as always, breaking down the event. And stick with us. Come back each and every week. We'll have an episode of the main event up later this week as well. And then Scott and I will be back with the Place to Be podcast. Also, check out the Brad and Chad show, ranking and rebooking the King of the Ring tournaments. That was a lot of fun that we did as well. And if you're not sick of Deflategate, me and the Cowboy did an hour on it on the Sports Lounge. The most, I think, cordial and friendly Deflategate argument you're going to hear out there. So check that out. PlaceToBeNation.com, the only place to be in your pop culture world.
There you go. And Dan McGinn did a great job helping us out. JR, thank you for everything as always. I'm Kevin Kelly. We'll see you in a couple of weeks. We'll have another great guest, as always, because that's what we do. We have fun. We have talk. We have conversation. We have games. We have some nonsense as well. But it's always entertaining. And thanks for all the positive feedback from the fans. I do want to share this to you guys. It was in Toronto. And one of the fans said to me, "Hey, Place to Be Nation." So Place to Be Nation got a big shout out in Toronto.
Very nice.
Very good. All right. That's it for now. We'll see you in a couple of weeks when we return on the Kevin Kelly Show.
With Alex Wright? Hopefully with Alex Wright.
Maybe with Alex Wright. We'll work on that. And a whole lot more. But anyway, that's it for now. We'll see you in a few weeks here on the Kevin Kelly Show on Place to Be Nation. PlaceToBeNation.com is the website home. And we'll see you next time.
Bring me Das Wunderkind. Wake up to get ready to rig the thing I wore for the ass motorboating.
A tree fell on Greg Abbott.
You know, I'm only 50 now and the phone could ring at any time.
Basically, because she had Tommy John and had a strong arm, she gave these awesome hand jobs that he was, like, obsessed with.
This honey is from Hazel's Honey Hut.
But by the way, speaking of food and Bush,
I think Chris Jericho is who Michael Hayes would like to be.
Always had a lot of issues with Cox, or have you dealt with Cox better in the past?
I used to enjoy dealing with Cox. Will you do my wife and I the honor of purchasing
no,
you?
Wait a minute.
I don't get butt hurt.
Bye.